Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's on this, the second Sunday before Lent, for our Holy Communion service. It's good to see you, and we welcome visitors in particular, and thank you for being here. As we gather in the safety that all of us have at the moment, our thoughts and prayers are with all those many, many people who are suffering so terribly through the earthquake. And we do remember them in our thoughts and in our prayers. And the loose cash collection at this service will be allocated to the appeal to help those in Turkey and Syria at this very difficult time. Next Sunday, there will be a retiring collection, but if you would like to make an early contribution, the loose cash collection at this service will be going to assist at this stressful and difficult and challenging time. Our service begins on page 201. The Lord be with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and make peace with all in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The collect for today, the second Sunday before Lent. Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth and made us in your own image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works and your likeness in all your children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns supreme over all things, now and forever. Amen.
In Paul's thinking, the whole created order yearns for perfection, just as we humans do. Therefore, he can see that in God's time, both we and all nature will be brought to completion in a new kind of glory, free from death and decay. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, for the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Jesus uses picture language in a lesson about anxiety. Do not get over anxious. Don't let your worries dominate your life. God is the creator and sustainer of everything there is, and his loving care can be trusted to meet all our deepest needs. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the Gospel of the Lord. I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. To repeat those words from the end of today's Gospel, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. During my years as rector in Newton Ards, I served as chaplain to the local hospital. In the early days, that was a general hospital, including surgical and medical wards, a coronary care ward, a children's ward, a maternity unit, and a psychiatric unit. Shortly before I retired, almost all those facilities provided at Ards Hospital were transferred to the Ulster Hospital at Dundonald. With the permission of the Bishop of the time, at the request of the hospital authorities, I relocated to the Ulster Hospital, where I continued to serve as chaplain in retirement for another 5 years. While it added considerably to my daily responsibilities as a parish rector, I saw my role at Ards Hospital to be an important part of ministry. If possible, I would attempt to spend at least 1 hour almost every day in the hospital, visiting new patients and revisiting, especially in the mid or late evenings, those facing a crisis in their lives. That brought me into contact regularly with relatives, in addition to giving me the opportunity of informing local rectors when I received permission to do so. I was required to go the short distance from rectory to hospital at any hour of the day or night. And maybe this is an opportune moment to remind you, as the rector does from time to time, of the importance of informing him when you anticipate that you will be admitted to hospital or when you're about to be discharged, so that he can both think of you in his prayers and also give you pastoral support in whatever ways are appropriate. The parish church in Newton Ards is across the road from Ards Hospital. The main door is visible as you leave the hospital, and I arranged, with the help of other members of the church staff, to ensure that the parish church remained open every day if possible during daylight hours. That resulted from the considerable number of people visiting the hospital who were acutely